Hi, everybody. This is Brian Grasso, founder and CEO of the International Youth Conditioning Association, with another part of our three-part business segment for our Level 1 Youth Fitness Specialist Certification. This installment is How to Become a Youth Fitness Entrepreneur. And on the phone with me today is the incomparable Pat Rigsby, known for his business prowess and his general Midas touch when it comes to all things fitness-related and how to build a successful and altruistic and profitable business. So, Pat, thanks again for coming online today.
Brian, my pleasure. It's always exciting to talk about the vast opportunity in the youth fitness segment of the fitness marketplace. And I think that obviously, if somebody's listening into this, it's because they've seen the opportunity, and they've seen how big a demand there is for qualified youth fitness professionals. But can you just kind of provide a little bit of a backstory here and help people truly recognize what kind of opportunities are out there for them?
Absolutely, and I think the best way to showcase that is to just tell my story, to be honest. I mean, I think my entrance and work into the industry was probably a little different than most other fitness professionals. Out of college, well, in my final year of college, really, part of the graduating process was to take on a 6-month internship, and we could really, as students, we could decide in what segment of the industry we wanted that internship to be in. We had opportunities at commercial health clubs, private personal training fitness facilities, special population programs, community-based or governmental agencies, sport performance, and being that I'm a lifelong athlete and I really got into college and into this industry with the sole intent of working in athletics exclusively, I opted to do my internship at a facility called the High Performance Specialists in Toronto, Canada, where I'm from, and really enjoyed my time there as a student learning all about speed development and power and programming for athletes. And it really was a unique situation because I was reasonably young. I was 23 years old, still in college in my final year. And here I was, my clientele were all professional, national team, or Olympic athletes. And that was an eye-opening experience because it really showed me how little college prepared you for that kind of clientele, truly. Periodization is a nice concept on paper, but how do you make it work in practicality was something I learned on the fly at around 23 years old. But when I graduated from my program and from college, I was offered a job in that facility at the High Performance Specialists immediately upon graduation. So I never really did a whole lot in the fitness industry per se. I did work as a personal trainer at a major health club franchise in Canada for a period of time. I never really had to take that job overly seriously or expend too much energy on it because I did have my full-time work with the athletes. But really and truly, Pat, my first ventures in this industry were at the athletic level. And the way the youth segment sort of jumped out at me was, I'd say, roughly a year or so, maybe a little less than that, into working in the athletic market, parents of young athletes, some as young as 8, 9 years old, started bringing their young athletes to our facility for training and conditioning purposes. And as a staff, as a well-known facility in the Toronto area, we, honest to goodness, didn't know what we were doing with these kids. We would just take a lot of the programs that we kind of prepackaged for our professional athletes and our national team competitors, and we would dummy them down a little bit and change the volume and the intensity and augment certain things to reduce the overall aggressiveness of them. But that's what we would use with our young athletes. And it didn't take more than a few weeks of doing that for me to realize that something was inherently wrong. And so I started researching a great deal and traveling a great deal and learning and listening to great coaches who understood pediatric exercise science and sport development. And I realized in the heartbeat that I didn't know what I was doing when it came to training young athletes. And so I went on a mission and adventure at that point to learn as much as I possibly could about the whole spectrum of working with young athletes and long-term development and athlete development rather than sports specialization. And so that took me on a roller coaster of a career ride, which eventually culminated in me establishing the IYCA as an educational entity for fitness professionals looking to work in that market. Now, that's the long and short of how I got involved in the youth side of things, but an amazing thing happened along the way, aside from me learning so much about the pediatrics related to exercise and exercise selection. But roughly 4 or 5 years ago, the youth market in this part of the world, in particular North America, but now that has since hastily grown through Europe and Australia, New Zealand, all over the globe, all through Asia. But the youth market and demographic has become the largest grossing or amongst the largest grossing demographics in the entire fitness and sport training community. In November of 2004, I actually read an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that over $4 billion every year are spent on training and personal coaching and training for young athletes and kids in the United States alone. And that is when I realized that this market was soon to become the avant-garde demographic. This is where the most money was going to be spent. This is where the most attention was going to be showcased. This is where fitness professionals had to go. They had to understand and viably work with kids, either young athletes or kids who are not athletic at all but perhaps overweight or obese. But this market is the salvation for fitness professionals who are looking for a stable career and one based on longevity, because the fitness industry at large is dynamic, it's ever-evolving, and although millions upon billions of dollars are pumped into the fitness industry every year in terms of supplements, personal training, gym memberships, you name it, our society spends money on it. The average personal trainer, according to many of the well-regarded organizations that sort of lead our industry, the average personal trainer is still only making about $27,000 a year. And that is unacceptable for highly trained professionals. So when I looked at all that data back in the latter part of 2004, I realized that the youth market was going to be the saving grace, the salvation for fitness professionals who wanted a substantial career that was profit-minded, revenue-based, altruistic, but also based on longevity, something they could call a career for 20 or 30 years. And that's, Pat, my forecasts were accurate. That's exactly where we are right now. We're looking at a market that has exploded worldwide. I've been in Newsweek. I've been in New York Times. I get featured in Men's Health and Men's Fitness. Men's Health recently put me on a campaign to help overhaul physical education in middle schools across America. Oprah does shows on overweight kids and exercise solutions for them. I mean, you know, it is a never-ending system now that we are going towards this youth fitness craze. So my prognostications back in 2004 proved accurate. This is the opportunity market of the future for fitness professionals.
Yeah, I think that you are 100% spot on. And, you know, for those people that have given thought to this thinking, well, you know, I didn't necessarily get into this for the monetary ramifications. I got in this to help people. I mean, it sounds funny coming from the guy who's regarded as the business guy, but you know, let's face it, having worked with fitness professionals around the world, you know, in volumes, I have seen it time and time again, you know, changing the lifestyle habits and changing the behavior patterns of people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, you know, it is a challenge and really stands to make a far weaker impact at impacting our society over the long haul than by effectively training and coaching young people and infusing them with the knowledge and the habits that will carry them and in turn society, you know, to healthier lifestyles over the long haul. So from an altruistic standpoint, you know, the youth market just makes so much sense. Now, from a business standpoint, think about it, the parents of all these children that are out here, be it they're involved in sport or they just want to have their kids learn healthy lifestyle habits, or perhaps their children are already overweight and suffering some of the ill effects of that, both physically but even more so psychologically. Parents will always invest more in their children's well-being than they'll invest in their own, and they'll continue to invest in their children's well-being even if they don't feel like they have enough disposable income to invest in their own. In fact, right now, according to the National Sporting Goods Association, there are over 44 million children between the ages of 7 and 17 just in the United States competing in youth sports or youth athletics. So, think about how big a segment of the marketplace that is. The parents are already saying, you know what, I'm going to invest in my children to play in these sports, because these sports aren't free. I mean, they have to pay enrollment fees in the leagues. They have to, you know, pay for uniforms and travel and equipment. So, the opportunity is just staggering to not only build a tremendous business, but have an impact that is going to provide much more change to our society as a whole than virtually anything you could do working with the adult population.
Yeah, and you know, Pat, it would be a mistake not to sort of mention a few things in that. You know, you made a good point, and certainly it's important to state that this is not a money-driving, necessarily, ambition for anyone listening or for you or for myself. But let's, you know, we really need to be honest with ourselves. There's very few things, professionally speaking, that people want to do for free. This is a market that currently is worth $4 billion annually in the United States alone. It's expanding rapidly in this part of the world and beyond belief through Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Asia. So money is being spent. All we're suggesting is that you create value and you go after good value in terms of adding to a young person's life by training them well, being a good mentor, and money will follow. You can build a career based on providing good value for people, because money follows value. And Pat's absolutely right when he says that it's the most fulfilling thing in the entire world to affect change at the youth level where it's most necessary. Over 30% of kids in this country alone are currently overweight or obese. It's projected to be over 50% by 2010. And these numbers are not exclusive to the United States. Over 25% of kids in Australia are currently overweight or obese. We've recently received inquiries from Vietnam. Vietnam is asking, you know, myself and members of the IYCA to go and discuss practical strategies for obesity solution to kids. This is not an American problem. This is a worldwide epidemic that requires qualified, passionate professionals to help head off at the pass. Healthcare costs are going to exorbitantly explode. Medical intervention necessities are going to become just unbelievably commonplace, rather than just good, wholesome food and quality exercise, because our society has lost its way in terms of pragmatic and reasonably structured solutions to both sport training and development and obesity prevention. Mostly, Pat, all the stats I just gave were in reference to obesity and unhealthy lifestyles. Let's not forget the sporting side. You're absolutely right. Over 44 million kids in this country alone play organized sports every year. 3.5 million of them, or better, will incur some kind of injury that is largely considered preventable in the right training atmosphere. And an overwhelming percentage of kids drop out of sports by the age of 13 in the United States, citing emotional burnout and injury as the two greatest factors. 13, to be emotionally burnt out of sports at 13, or to have a body that's so riddled with injuries you can't possibly go on at 13 years old, this is not a money consideration. This is a society. We have to save society here. This is crazy. At 13, I was playing 14 hours a day of everything and wouldn't even consider emotional burnout or injury to be, I didn't even know what those meant necessarily. So when we talk about building a profitable career that's founded on altruism and longevity, what we're talking about is working within a market and a demographic where money is already being spent. We want it to be spent on the right professional, not the wrong professional, the right professional, who's prepared to put value into their clients and customers and understand that money follows value. And we speak so openly about that because, of course, we're talking about IYCA-certified professionals. You are the best of the best when it comes to pediatrics. We've seen to that. Our educational portfolio is as good as it is, as good as it gets industry-wide. We're the only organization that specializes in youth fitness and youth sport development, and that's a great source of pride for us, and it should be a great source of pride for you. So when we're talking about building a profitable and stable and longevity-based career, we're talking about quality professionals only, which means we're talking to you because you are an IYCA-certified professional or soon to be one.
Well, Brian, I think you've touched on some incredibly important points. So now that we have kind of the broad strokes overview, you know, where can our new IYCA members go to, you know, what directions can they take? What paths are available to them to really go out and embark on both, you know, a fulfilling career, but also a financially successful career?
Well, whenever, Pat, we're talking about infusing our talents and our newfound education into a different direction, in this case, a market that is youth-centered, you know, we're talking about any number of scenarios, private practice, joint ventures with physical therapy or massage therapy clinics, hospital-based initiatives, governmental-based initiatives, franchise ownership. There are innumerable number of business opportunities for the recently graduated IYCA professional. But let me just sort of cut through all the fluff and give you an exact easy blueprint of what you need to do. This is what I've done. Every time I've uprooted my life and moved to a different part of the world, which has happened many times, I need to develop both a market share and a credible name, because you know, now that my career is at a certain pitch, and you know, I've done a lot of things and been in the media, it's not hard to have a credible name and develop a market share almost immediately. But you know, not too many years ago, that wasn't true. I was great at what I did, but no one in the new community I was living in knew who I was or what my specialty was, etc. So, and that's probably more true for the people listening right now than the former, meaning, you know, either you're new to your area or you've been in your area for a long time and people might respect you as a great fitness professional, but now you're walking down a different path to become a youth fitness entrepreneur, and so that's requiring a different market share and different credibility. So here's what you do. You find your local YMCAs or your local park districts, and you go and develop relationships with the people who work there, the fitness directors, the program directors, the general managers, the managers at large. These organizations are the heartbeat and pulse to your local community. They have mailing lists that extend into the thousands in small communities and hundreds of thousands in larger communities. They are in existence to run programs, most of which are fitness-related, for the community at large, whether it be geriatric, adult, or pediatric. What they also are, though, are starving for qualified people to come in and run these programs for them. They have budgets, they have facilities, they have the means to bring the people in. What they don't have more often than not is the right personnel to run the quality program. And this is how, Pat, I start every time I'm in a new place, how I start to develop both a market share and earn a credible reputation in that market is I partner in joint venture with governmental agencies like YMCAs and park districts, and I simply offer my services. Once I establish a relationship with the fitness director, program director, and managers, I offer my services to run a youth fitness program or a youth soccer program or whatever it might be that, you know, is going to be the niche that I want to work in, and I create a paragraph of what the program is going to be. I work with the managers on what the cost is going to be per person in the community. And then, of course, they put it in their program calendars and they mail it out to the community at large. I run the program at their facility. They take in the revenue and they cut me a check at the end of it for my share of the profit, which is usually around 70%. Now, what that's done is that's given me a great relationship with an organization that is the heartbeat and pulse of the community. That's number one. Number two, it's given me some revenue because I ran a program and got paid for it. Number three, I guess actually Pat 2B, is I got paid for doing it but had no overhead because they took care of the marketing, they took care of the bill collection, and they took care of the facility. So I got paid for it, but I didn't have to put anything up in front of my own cash to make it happen. And number three is now I have a credible reputation and a market share because the parents of the kids who are in my program think the world of what I did. The kids themselves think the world of what I did. The program director and fitness director think the world of what I did, and now I have a viable client list of people who are in my program because now they have friends and they have other sons and daughters and they have family members who have sons and daughters. So now I've developed a credible reputation and a market share that I can network through and start creating real fitness programs, either continuing through these governmental agencies or branching off on my own, whether it be my own facility or just outdoor camps or however it may work. But to become a youth fitness entrepreneur and establish a profitable and longevity-based career, that's your first step. Partner with governmental agencies, just like I detailed, and reap the benefits of developing a credible reputation and a market share in a very, very easy way. There's virtually no concern or problematic issue of getting started in this capacity. And then once you have that done, you've made some money, and you certainly now are credible with the market share, and you can go a lot of different directions from there.
Very nice, very nice. I think that that's something that most people gloss over, and they think that they're out there on an island on their own and do not recognize the power of some of these organizations that they can partner with and really kind of start their career on solid footing. So great insight, Brian. So after that, can we shed just a little bit more light on some of the other directions, some of the other opportunities that are available in the industry as a whole, for people that do want to make a career in youth fitness long-term?
Absolutely. I don't know if there's a first and foremost, so I'll give a few different options. But, franchise ownership is a direction I would look to immediately if I decide I want to become a youth fitness entrepreneur. And that's, I was going to say it's for one reason, but it really is for several reasons. First of all, most coaches and trainers are great at coaching and training and awful at business. And so it certainly is more than just peace of mind. It's almost a necessity to have the backing of an organization or a franchise business that has done the dirty work for you and taken care of billing and systems and marketing and staff training and facility management and operations. These things are the devil is in the detail of learning how to create proper operations manuals for your facility, learning how to do billing structure properly, learning how to understand marketing and make marketing work, learning how to generate leads and then convert them. Those are specialties all by themselves, and the devil really is in the details of making those work properly. So if you're very serious about becoming a youth entrepreneur, I would look towards a franchise because undoubtedly the franchise has done all of that work for you and created marketing plans and operation manuals and billing structures. And all you have to do is open up the manual and follow it A to Z. And you've got yourself a viable fitness business beyond the training and coaching. So that's one route, and probably the first and foremost route I would look at, Pat, is to start looking towards an operating franchise. But there's certainly other alternatives. You could open your own facility, and that's rewarding, and it's fulfilling, and it's a lot of fun. It's like a honeymoon. It's very romantic. I would caution again, the devil in the details of business operation and management is very heightened and very difficult to be the head coach, the go-to person, and the business manager all at the same time. But it certainly is an opportunity that youth fitness entrepreneurs should look at. Another could be medical. Hospitals all over the country, all over the world, in fact, are developing youth obesity solution-oriented programs, and they are in dire need of help because more often than not, these fitness programs are created by the attending physicians who are very well-intentioned and very medically savvy but don't know the first thing about pediatric exercise science or what's necessary in terms of youth fitness development. And now, as an IYCA Level 1 certified professional or soon-to-be professional, you're very equipped to walk into a setting like that and be paid as an employee or as a consultant to help them create their program. And I suppose consultancy is maybe the final piece of the puzzle. Youth sport organizations are forever looking towards professionals to run speed camps and clinics or warm-up designs for their teams and athletes. And if you're ambitious, you don't have to look at your geographic location exclusively. One of the first companies I ever owned was in figure skating. I was a consultant to figure skating associations all over the world. I would fly in to different parts of the world for a weekend, literally, and I would work with the coaches, educating them on how to warm up their figure skaters prior to taking the ice. Then I'd work with the parents on understanding nutrition and exercise compliance. And I work with the skaters themselves on different conditioning and training routines and programs and exercise selections. And I would travel and get paid very good money just for being there for one weekend, and that would be it. And that was a pretty small demographic of figure skating. So fitness franchise ownership, your own facility, medical-based practice, and then consultancy are four different, very different demographics and business opportunities that our IYCA level and graduates should start looking at very soon if they're serious about a career as a youth fitness entrepreneur, which they should be, as it's, you know, the greatest and most expansive market in the entire industry.
Well, Brian, I think you've covered about everything that I could hope to cover. So is there anything else that you would want to address before we wrap this up?
I think my closing statement might be just this. Aim for the stars. I mean, this is a market that is expanding at an unparalleled rate. And, you know, I've read survey data from IDEA, from IRSA. Every governing body of fitness worldwide really does cite youth fitness as the exploding demographic over the next 5 to 10 years. And a profitable, altruistically based, and longevity-oriented career always comes to the fitness professional who is proactive, first of all, but understands market trends. This is the market trend. This is where the industry is going. And it's one of those things where opportunity must meet ingenuity. You have to go after things and be bold, but be very intuitive in terms of what your options are and what your best bets are. And again, it goes back to me thinking franchise, because that is your best bet for success in a market that is absolutely growing at an exponential rate to become part of an international team of locations that are all situated towards a head office with a common message, an already internationally branded identity with business operations, etc. That is your greatest potential success point. And so, you know, that's one thing, again, listeners should keep in mind.
Well, Brian, as usual, I think that you provided some incredible insight, and hopefully every new IYCA member listening into this recognizes the vast opportunity that they have in front of them, that, you know, they really are, you know, on the the front end of an entire revolution in the fitness industry and can carve out a significant part of this marketplace for themselves should they so choose.
Absolutely.
So, right with that, we, I think we can wrap this up. So, Pat Rigsby, Brian Grasso for the IYCA, signing off.
Thanks, Pat.